Superstars. G'day, legends. Peps and J-Dog. Can you believe we've finally had a full round of football? And that means that me and the big guy are back for the round one review. Big guy, how are you? More importantly, congratulations on Port Adelaide getting a win. 9 games. Couldn't ask for much more than that. The season has finally really started.
It certainly has. Great weekend, great start to the season, and I hope your team won. Let's go.
Let's go. Hey, for everybody watching us live, thank you very much for joining us. People listening to us on the podcast, thank you very much. Absolute superstars. Massive weekend, 9 games. I want to quickly just give you my little wraparound on them all. I know that you're not a big fan of talking about them. We're not going to get into them deep-wise, but just a couple of things I really wanted to pick out about the games. Carlton Richmond on the Thursday night. Belter of a game. Richmond had lots of little injuries throughout it. And to have a 5-point margin in that game was probably bigger and better than most people expected. So awesome game. Yes.
Chef kiss on that is the opening round of the AFL. That's what it needed.
That's what it needed. Beautiful. Yep, I agree wholeheartedly. Even though we've gone at this saying, you know, that's a traditional start. Well, it's only been tradition for about maybe 10, 12 years, I think. Maybe 14?
Maybe 15. Mid to late 2000s.
I think so. I pretty much agree with it. I think it's a good way to start the season. Two big teams, big, and you know what? Richmond were awesome, so I love that. I went camping away on the weekend. This game was on the projector down at Lake Eppalock, Collingwood, Sydney. Jeez, I didn't see this one coming. I don't think many people saw this one coming. Collingwood, they may need to go and get, as I said in the preview, they may need to go and get some AFL Panadol because they have a premiership hangover. I do not care what anyone says. They've been sniffing their own bath water for too long. They've been drinking their own bath salts for too long. Sydney, absolutely sensational. Loved everything what they did. It will be, the way it's going, it could be an all-Sydney grand final if it keeps this way. And I already 2 rounds in, but by God, by jingo, by crikey, I am excited. Essendon Hawthorn, that was actually a really good game for up to 3 quarters. Then Essendon kicked away. Have they discovered a bit of a new midfield? James Sicily, is he the dumbest captain in the AFL? I'd love to hear your opinion on that. I think he is. He's letting the number six down. All great number sixes around the AFL, VFL community just rolled their eyes in embarrassment after his kicking during the week. GWS North. Look, we knew GWS was going to win. I thought this would be a 10-goaler minimum. But North Melbourne held their heads up high. Larky is sensational. They've got McKercher, Dersma, Sheezel, and Wardlow. They have got a gorgeous midfield. They've got Larky up front. They've got beautiful vroom vroom Eddie Ford as well too. They've got lots to like about him. Simpkin, Davies Uniac. They're going to be going great, but GWS is one bloke I want to get into very, very shortly because he's going to be featuring in one of our best segments that people love. Geelong, St Kilda, another cracking game. Good to see the taxpayer-funded stadium down there. Got a complete full sellout. Also good to see Rodney Dangerfield got his scuba license to go with the big dives that he tends to have as well. Obviously, the free kicks go to him. Absolutely pathetic. St Kilda pretty much kicked themselves out of that game. They should have potentially have blown them away in the first half, but poor kicking in front of goal is poor football, my friends, and that was another example of it. Adelaide Gold Coast, I think this result is very flattering to Adelaide. They were totally outplayed. They did kick the last 6 goals of the game. Gold Coast have got something special. I still think that they're going to have their lull moments, but I don't think it's going to be as bad. I know you're one of those who wait to be seen. But I think there's something going on at Gold Coast, and I like the way they're playing. Matt Rowell, my God, he's just an old-school nuggety footballer. Love every single thing that he does. Melbourne versus Bulldogs, I went to that game as well too. It was stinking hot out there. It was tight for a long time, but then I think Melbourne just having that extra week under them paid off. Oliver was fantastic. We know Gorn was fantastic around the ground, but it was the little things that Van Rooyen kicking three, you had Chandler kicking three. Billings got his hands on the ball. Marty Hoare down back for his first game in close to 5 years. Howe's down back as well too. So a lot of names that not familiar to many Melbourne supporters really stood up across the. So I think they had that bigger. They didn't kick long down the line. They went through the middle. They switched the ball. All the things that Melbourne does not do over the last probably 4 or 5 years, they were doing. So they've changed it up. They looked good, and it was a game that they had to win. No Bont, no Bulldogs, full stop. That's all I'm going to go with that. Port Adelaide versus West Coast. I didn't see any of this game, but the result was probably flattering. Should that have been more than 50 points, J-Dog?
Hunge.
16-24. You've had 40 scoring shots to 20. That should have been a hungy. Okay. Didn't see much of Harley Reid, but, you know, congratulations to him. And Fremantle-Brisbane, upset of the weekend. I don't think anybody saw this coming. Brisbane, you know, I thought they were going to be unbeatable. They beat themselves into submission. They are absolutely putrid, J-Dog. Have nothing with them whatsoever. So who would have thought the two grand finalists from last year are winless so far this season? It's, massive, massive. So cracking weekend. But I do think the actual highlight was this message that came through from Ella Ali. We love Ali. Evening, gentlemen. Peps was at the mighty Overland Reserve over the weekend, had a kick to kick with my boys and told I used to kick here from lace out straight to Chris Pepper. Fang, you're an absolute superstar. Love what you do. Donna J's on there. Great to see. Richmond must have had a – no, they didn't have a win, so it's why is she online? I don't know. But that's the round of footy. Great to have 9 games, but I really want to talk about our first key thing that came out of it, and it's simply this.
Bag, bag, bag. We love it when they're kicking. Bag, bag, bag. It's got to be 6 or more. Bag, bag, bag. We love it when they're kicking. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. We love it when they kick them. And Jesse Hogan kicked the proper 6 bags on the weekend. 6 bags, 6 goals, not a handful, not a modern-day bag, what they call is 3. It's 6. 6 or more is a bag. And Jesse Hogan, is he having just a revitalization, a rejuvenation of a career since going up to the GWS Giants? You know, he would have been a total loss to footy, J-Dog. And you consider his first number of seasons at the Ds. He had 44 in his first season, 41 in his second season. Had an injury-laden sort of game. Only had 10 games in 2017. Still kicked 20. 2018, he had a really bad run with injuries, collarbones, and a few other bits and pieces as well too. Went down, had 47 goals. And then he had that really lean time at Fremantle.
Yeah, yeah.
13, 5. And then he went over to GWS. He had 20. He had 35 last year, had his best season, 49, and he's already had 10 so far this year. He's just got some absolute spunk about him. He looks fit. He looks lean. I was pissed off when he went to GWS. Oh, sorry, when he went to Fremantle, because I just loved everything about him. But yeah, he's looking good, and he doesn't have to be the bay man, because we know we've got Cadman, they've got Brown, they've got Toby Green, they've got Tom Green, they've got Toby Bedford. Like, how many people do you want? Stormy Daniels down there as well too. They've got so much playing with, and he just looks like he's loving his football. And that work he's been doing with Snags Mumford is totally paying off as well too. So loved it that he kicked a bag. And he had 6 and should have been probably 7, to be honest.
Yeah, he owed him one.
Hey, a couple of quick questions are coming through. Buzz is back. Did the Saints win? No, but close enough. So they got within a goal, so Buzz counts that as a win. Hey, boys, what's your view on the Dangerfield incident? J-Dog, did you had a chance to see the Dangerfield incident?
Is it a standard off the ball hit that he does?
No. It was one of those below knee contact ones. The St. Kilda bloke was going in for the ball. He's sort of fallen and crossing. He's actually kneed him in the back, and he's got the free kick. It was just wrong. It's not what the rule was designed for. The rule was designed for stopping players sliding in due to the Lindsay Thomas, Gary Rowan incident many, many years ago. That's not the way it is. The rule is wrong. It needs to be changed. It needs to be put back to how it was, because that is an absolute joke. My good Jacob Kov, congratulations. Thank you for joining us. He's actually asking this question, J-Dog. Thoughts on the Sicily and Redmond suspensions? Over to you.
I don't know the AFL anymore. They're dead to me.
Okay, so they stuffed up with Hewitt last week and McNeil, and if they'd done that, I wouldn't have had an issue with it.
What's Sicily? What's Sicily? Is it 1 weeker?
1 weeker for kicking?
Didn't feel it. Merritt said he didn't feel it.
Yeah, but if you actually have a look, he does kick him. He makes contact. It's stupid, all right? Redmond, double-fisted to the throat, chin. Look, he was probably given a bit of, you know, how's your mother? Didn't work. Hit him in the chin. I don't think it's worth a week, but I can understand why they did it. And James Harms has also been given a week for headbutting Stephen May. We were at the ground when it happened. It was like, oh, he's actually headbutted him. And the AFL have said, yes, my friend, you can have a week off. But the funny thing is, at the end of the game, Harms and Maisie are just, you know, premiership teammates hugging it out at the end of the game. So I have no idea what the tribunal does. We're up to round two, technically round one, and we still have no idea. So they just blur the lines. It is blurred lines. It is that song by You Know You Want It. Mm, you know.
Well, like we've said, Peps.
Yep.
It's the action, not the outcome, that they're trying to stamp out. And I guess the kicking, even though Merritt came out and said, I actually didn't feel anything, maybe. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't talk tribunal anymore because I don't understand it.
We don't know. We don't care. We just don't, you know, if there's one that goes across the chops, then we'll talk about it. But little things like this makes no sense. We've got no idea. Mossy's come out with the D's and the Dogs game was very poor. Dogs don't make the top eight and the D's won't make the top four on that game. Well, you know what? We can only beat who's in front of us. The Dogs were poor. If the Bont's not there, you're useless. Aaron Norton, he's only kicked it to him twice yesterday.
Four disposals since quarter time.
Yep. But you've signed him up for another 8 years. So good on you, Norts. That's the easiest $9 million that you're going to make.
Well, before this turns into the D podcast, Peps.
Not the D podcast, but
we had feedback over the season break. Let's talk about some of the issues from some of the bigger issues Peps want to talk about. The great things and then the not great things.
Okay.
Biggest opening round of AFL.
Yeah.
Numbers through the gates. That is a fantastic win after we had a conversation around where are we heading, what's it look like. I think that's fantastic.
Yep. No, I love it. Absolutely love it.
I have an issue.
Numbers.
I have an issue though.
Oh, okay.
First Melbourne game.
Yep.
Melbourne supporters.
Yep.
The G was empty.
It wasn't empty. It was 44,000 there.
It was empty. It looked empty.
Okay. Can I give you a heads up why? And this is from one who was there.
Yes, please.
It was blazing hot. So everybody was actually sitting underneath the shade on the southern side wing.
Okay.
But on the other side, which was the MCC Ponsford stand, that was chockers.
Okay, because the other side looked like it literally looked like you had 14 people in the stands.
I can tell you now, if you looked at the game, and a few people have said this, it looked empty. It was loud. I think there was like 4,000 doggy supporters, if that. Melbourne supporters turned up. Now, Melbourne have got, I think, 70,000 members, and to have probably, I'd say, 35, 40 of those. 40, maybe round it off, turn up. That's a big win. That's a big win, considering some, you know, Collingwood is supposed to have 100,000 supporters. Half of them left at halftime on Friday night. I don't know if you saw that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on because they are the biggest FUBAR that you've ever seen. So, yeah, there was a lot of them hiding because it was quite hot in the Shane Warne stand.
It was a very hot weekend, actually.
Great.
Adelaide was 30-plus, they were saying. How great did the Joel Selwood stand at Geelong look?
Yeah, it looks mint. Do you know what I like about it? It's continuous. So it's not like what they've done at the SCG, which is just apparently a shit place to watch football.
Hey, do not go near my Adelaide Oval.
I'm not saying Adelaide Oval. I just said the SCG, how they've got that sort of new stand and they've still got that old stand in the middle, which just looks absolutely ridiculous. The Adelaide Oval looks magnificent, you know, three quarters of the way around. Optus Stadium looks awesome all the way around. MCG, that whole southern stand and, you know, the whole thing looks Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks really good. And it's great that me and you and everybody else watching this and listening to it now, the taxpayer dollars paid off.
Well, can I open up the first football topic of tonight, Peps?
Yeah, go for it, buddy.
Because there's a couple of things that just have revolved off this. Is having your own ground an unfair advantage in today's performance AFL levels? We look at Geelong have their own ground. Melbourne exclusively train now basically on the G. Is this becoming a sticking point now for those teams who don't get to have their own home ground advantage anymore?
No.
Okay. No.
I don't think it does because everybody's got their sort of home ground advantage. So you've got your home ground advantage, haven't you?
Adelaide Oval, yep.
Okay. The Perth teams have their home ground.
Well,
yes, they do. Optus.
That's the train on Optus?
No, no one trains on Optus. Oh, no, they train at their own facility. You train at your own facility.
We train at our facility.
No one trains on the MCG at all. So the difference between probably, I think the only two teams that have an advantage, actually there's three. And two of them are advantages because of ground. So Sydney and Geelong because of the dimensions of the ground, whether it's thin, whether it's shorter. They're the two teams that had the advantage. The only other one I'd say that has a semi-advantage would be Gold Coast, because when the humidity and the heat gets up there, they are used to it. Obviously, the southern teams aren't. So that's the only difference I would say when it comes to that sort of thing. But you've got to win. It doesn't matter. You've got to win finals at the MCG. You've got to win finals at the big stadiums. So yeah, you might have 9 games or 11 of your home games at your home ground, but you still have to travel.
Yeah, because we always talk about the affirmation of, you know, the affirmation and all that sort of thing. If you go to Geelong, I know you've been there quite a few times, you have about 100 to 200 of your away team supporters and the rest is Geelong.
Yep.
It is a deafening roar.
Yep.
I think that means something, and I think that it's a shame that grounds such as Optus Oval, like you've said, or whatever it's called now, the Carlton one, that has capacity easily for 40 plus.
Yep.
Well, I don't see why clubs aren't pushing harder for their own home ground advantages like Geelong.
Well, the financials behind it. Where are you going to build these grounds? So that's the thing. Like, I know we had them. You can't. Because Windy Hill, it's a small ground anyway. You wouldn't be able to do it. Glenferrie Oval, you couldn't do it. North Melbourne, you couldn't do it. Western Oval, you couldn't do it because they've all got these facilities there. Mm. Fitzroy doesn't exist anymore. Princess Park. Icon is probably the only one that you might be able to get. But once again, the Blues are on fire at the moment. Yeah. Yep. So I think the days of suburban football is gone. A couple of things, lots of things are coming up here. Buzz reckons that the home ground is definitely an advantage at Cardinia Park. Yes. The thing that they said, though, on the coverage was that at Cardinia Park, because it's 40,000 now, they're allocating more tickets to Melbourne-based supporters coming up. So it's not just you're not going to struggle for your ticket. You're going to get more. I think that they have to. You might be able to get five of the 40,000 these days. Like that, at least you're getting something. Yeah. I don't know what the exact number is. Really good number here by Rambo. The Bombers have two grounds of the same dimensions as the G and Marvel. So depending on where they're playing, they will set up their training either on the MCG size ground or the Marvel size ground, which
there's nothing like your own. Like nothing. There's nothing like the deck of the G or nothing like the deck of Marvel Stadium. But this is also, I also want to tie this into the Brisbane Gabba developments over the last week that sort of come out. So we've known that they need an upgrade to the facilities. They've been asking the Queensland government now for quite some time to upgrade the facilities. This Sunday, yesterday, I think it came out that they're probably more open to building a brand new ground for football for Brisbane Lions. Dropping, instead of doing the $2.2 billion upgrade, dropping $3.5 billion new stadium.
Yep.
I think that's a huge win. I said it's a huge win.
So they're not going to upgrade the Gabba, but they're going to get a different place to play football. Is that what they're saying?
Pretty much the same as the situation that Footy Park and Adelaide Oval was in. So Footy Park was going to cost too much to upgrade. They had a facility there they could invest into, and that's what they've done.
Okay. But where's the Brisbane one going to be?
That's a great question. I don't know that yet.
Well, at least the Adelaide Oval was already there. It was a great place for footy. They just upgraded the stands, et cetera. So at least they could do it. The problem is they don't have a transitional oval to play at whilst those stadiums. So they played at Footy Park until Adelaide Oval was ready. Then they removed it. They don't have that in Brisbane. They've got Brisbane. What, they're going to play up at Gold Coast? Are they going to do this by halves? You saw what's happened over in Perth when they went from the Wacker and Subiaco over to Optus Stadium. Gorgeous facility. Are Brisbane going to do the old poor man pays twice and just upgrade it?
I don't know.
I don't think you need to. I think you need, just need to knock the whole joint down and start again.
So knock Gabba down completely, lose a resource, and rebuild.
Yep, rebuild the place.
And where would you play for that 5 to 6 year, 10 year interim?
Well, there's two ways that they could do it. There's either knock the whole place down and maybe they have to play at Gold Coast or somewhere else. I'm mm-hmm. just throwing it out there. Mm-hmm. The other option is what they do with the MCG. So if you remember when they built the Southern Stand, when they built the alterations for the Commonwealth Games, yeah. they knocked half the stands down, left the other ones going, and then they'll still only be able to get maybe 20,000 in there, and they work their way around. I think that's the only way that they can do it if they still want them to play in Brisbane.
Oh, just like, I suppose, just like Cadinia Park, just the same thing.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. I think that's the only way that they can do it. If they want to play in Brisbane, just knock down half of it, because you hear the stories over the years what those facilities were like. They were putrid, and they still are, even with those minimal upgrades that they have. So you can upgrade it, but you still got the foundations of that in there. You're better off just getting a clean slate. And you know what it's like, J-Dog. You know, to if you want to put an extension on a house, sometimes it's better to knock the house down and build what you actually want than trying to retrofit something onto something that exists. It actually can be quite harder to do.
Keep a 20% margin in your kitty for renovations.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But I just think that that's a better way to do it as well too.
I think that's what. Yeah, but
if you want to talk about advantages, here's another one. Rambo says it perfectly. The only two teams that get the advantage of a home ground in the gather round are the Adelaide ones. So this is what I said during gather round. Why isn't the showdown played during the gather round?
Because it would burn down. It'd be the best. I agree. I do not like to see showdowns played in preseason knockarounds and stuff like that. I'll not swear.
Yeah, that's right. But imagine that was the Saturday night game.
Because no one would come.
Showdown.
Really, I don't think. It'd be just in Adelaide and an Adelaide Crows, sorry, Port and Crows thing, where it's all about being more about getting a Collingwood or a Hawthorne or a Melbourne playing on a Saturday night.
Yeah, but the flip side to the way I look at it, J-Dog, is that you're getting – the Adelaide teams are getting a free hit because everybody has to go over there.
Yeah, it's too – there's too – they're both too big of supporters over there being in their home state that they'll just take up the whole ground and not anyone will ever go to the football on Saturday.
That's fine by me. I don't mind that. I just think that the gather round should be something that people play. Tell you what, this whole thing about home ground advantages, the Pies, because they play X amount of games there. Remember, Richmond played their last – 8 in a row at the MCG. So they're the teams that I think get the advantage of playing in front of big crowds at the G on a regular basis, because teams want to play Richmond, Carlton, Collingwood. I'd even go still far as saying Essendon, because they are the big drawing clubs, Hawthorn as well. You want to play those clubs at the G as a home game for you because it maximises the revenue coming through.
Yeah. I'm just on a note.
There's no advantage from a game perspective, like Cadinia Park, SCG, Metricon Stadium.
And I think that's sort of the angle I was looking at it going, well, I watched the Melbourne game and I saw the crowds there and I was like, you know, when we have the grounds in soccer, like Old Trafford and people like that, like they are like institutions. If you can get into one of those and spend the huge amount of money on the tickets to go to those, that's a real thing. And I thought, how good it be to see Carlton return to Optus and then to go and sit in a Carlton game or something like that. I don't know. Just it's a shame that we've lost that in favour of these huge conglomerate grounds where they have 90,000, but only on a weekend you'd have 50 to 40,000 there. I don't know. It's just, yeah.
And I'll throw this one out to the viewers. Do you know the one thing I did like during the preseason when they played the actual preseason games was that a good portion of the games were at Icon Park. I thought that was pretty cool because it's pretty central to get there. It's just to, you know, go down to
ding ding tram Sydney Rover is
no Abbotsford Station. Go down to Melbourne Central, take the tram straight down. There's probably other stations a lot closer to that.
Go down the zoo tram,
bang, straight there. It's easy to get to. It's easy to get home from. It's big enough for preseason games. And, you know,
that is one ground that is big enough can go tomorrow. Like it could start tomorrow.
I reckon you could, but once again, they've done so much work getting that center built. You couldn't knock it down.
I think
that's the thing, is like you got, you know, a third of the ground is made up of all these facilities. Unless you're going to try and squeeze 20,000, and, you know, it looks great on one side, but if you go have a look at the stands and the toilet facilities and the food facilities, like, that's where you're going to have to spend your money for the upgrades, and it's just not viable.
Witten Oval is an upgrade, but then do some more upgrades to it.
That'd be well, great. If you have a look at Witten Oval, there's no stands, there's no seats anymore. It's just, where's everyone going to fit?
It's grass.
It's no Teddy Witten, not Teddy Witten, Doug Hawkins wing anymore. It's just a Doug Hawkins mound.
All right. Let's move it on.
All right. You wanted to bring up something.
I did. Okay. So, Peps, as we come to air tonight,
yep.
A new team has been introduced into the AFL, the worst kept secret. They're not a secret, but it's all come out.
And how good was it, J-Dog? Should we do the old... Yes, they are going to be known. Head to the side. Tasmania Devils. We knew this was what was going to be. I actually like it. I like the logo.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's something a bit different. I like it.
I'm going to break this down, Peps, for us.
Break it down.
What other name could they have actually gone for other than the Tassie Devils? Like,
oh, yeah. They could have gone the Tassie Two Heads.
Yep. What else could they have gone through? You reckon?
They could have gone the Tassie Bree.
The Tassie Bree?
Mm.
Yeah. The Tassie Hydro Dams?
If they did not
call it the Tassie Devils, that would be sacrilegious.
Yeah. They could not call it anything else. It was a Tassie Devils. Like, that was it. Like, you couldn't call it, you know, like the Jack Jumpers. We've got the Jack Jumpers down there. And that doesn't make sense. Apparently it's something of an insect that's unique to Tasmania.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. That's why. I don't mind the Jack Jumpers. I think it's something different.
No.
And they play bloody good basketball too, I will say.
Mm.
Their jumper is exactly the same as their state jumper, which I think you don't like it?
No.
Do you know what the funny thing is? My wife, Narelle, saw the jumper and she went, "Oh, that's a bit boring." I said, "But it's 100 plus years of heritage. It's their state jumper. It's their." She goes, "What does the T stand for?" I said, "Tasmania." She goes, "Well, I didn't have a TD on there for Tassie Devils." And I'm just like, "I'm having a conniption." Just like Narelle. It's a state jumper. Why couldn't they freshen it up? Because it's heritage. Yeah, but couldn't they make it more? And I was just like, I had to leave the room. But I like it. Okay. I think they're keeping the tradition with the jumper side of things, and no doubt they will have some sort of alternate strip the closer we get. But I like it. I think that they've kept it real, and it's going to be interesting to see. Foundation memberships are available from now. We can buy a foundation membership for $10 and be a foundation member of the Tasmania Devils.
The Tasmania.
Tasmania. It's all good. I put North Melbourne, I put the Sky, and the Tasmania Devils.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So they've been getting their pieces on the board. They've been moving them around a bit. So they've just picked up Brendan Gale last week to head up the football club.
Yep.
They've got Richo and other Tassie-based footballers who are all on the PA train. The PA train? The bandwagon? The
TD bandwagon.
Yeah. What's that? TD?
Tasmania Devil.
Oh, yeah, TD. Yep, makes sense. On the what's it called when you're like trying to make something exciting for people to get excited about?
Brand activation?
Brand activators, hype men, hype ladies, whatever.
The pork barreling.
They've got Jack Rewalt, other Rewalts probably, other Tassie people. I don't even know. But anyway, Peps, the jumper, they need to do something with the jumper, Peps. I'm with your wife with this one here. It is a bit boring. And I know we've got a couple of people say it's a bit boring as well.
Okay.
It's just the map of Tasmania, which obviously has its own connotations. And I need to see something else on it. The green's great, the maroon's great. I don't care if they go down that route.
Yep.
But it needs to have something. That's pretty. It feels like state footy. That's all.
It is. It's a state football jumper.
Yeah, but it does feel, but we're not moving from state footy. We don't have swans on our jumpers anymore, yellow and black. We don't have whatever.
No, but the ones have got the Opera House still. Oh, no, they don't. They got rid of the Opera House because the Opera House were asking for too much money.
Is that really true?
Yeah, they wanted the I think the Opera House Trust wanted too much money for the Opera House to be on there. Jeez, and so God. They just got rid of it, and that's why they wear the V, and I think it looks hot.
Well, the V is that's where it's at with
us. Yeah, exactly. But Jamie, your first jumper when you first came in
was elite.
That was shithouse.
Elite.
Shithouse. Port Adelaide's first jumper was poo.
Lightning bolt with black, green, or black, teal, and white.
No, that other thing that you had. No, that wasn't your main jumper. You had those things with those lines all over them, and it just looked awful.
That's the later one. Don't we talk about that?
Then you had the silver one that looked like a power grid. Oh, and then you had a 13-year-old. Then you had an 11-year-old girl or whatever it was designed your current jumper, and it looks the best one out of the lot.
Do you know what? Elon Musk was 13 once. Look, he's a genius.
Yeah, so was Ivan Milat.
But I think I need to see some verticalness, or I need to see graphic. I need to see a graphic other than a map.
I think it suits it. I don't have an issue with it. Because you know what? Sometimes those jumpers, when you put too much into them, look even worse. Do you remember the Power Rangers jumper that Hawthorne wore?
Yeah, but that was great.
Yeah, that was awful. It was awful. What about the M&M blue one that the Carlton Blues wore?
Or the orange.
Or the orange North Melbourne. What? The yellow St. Kilda.
The milk one.
The milk one, the Pura milk one.
It's a good one.
Pura puts his name on his milk.
I would want to see, I would accept a yoke.
No, you can't have a yoke because there's already a team with a yoke.
No, green with the maroon yoke.
No, there's already a team with a yoke. I would like it. No yoke here, my friend. Here, no yoke. Robbo?
What about patches? No yoke. On the shoulders, maroon patches on the shoulders that sort of run down like a chest shield?
This is why you'll never be a fashion designer. Thank God they didn't go to J-Dog's consultancy business.
Steampunk look.
Yeah. Anyway, what about the Brisbane Bears?
All right. So the jumper, the name.
Yep.
One slight issue though, Peps. There's no ground.
Oh, there will be a ground.
Where are they going to put the ground?
So they're going to play out of UTAS at the moment, University of Tasmania. Yes, at the moment until the new one gets built, which it will get built.
Where?
Let's be honest.
Yeah, they're talking down at the Wharfs area.
Yeah. They've already got the piece of land earmarked for it and everything. It's just, mate, this is a fait accompli. They are going to get.
Is there any dates they're talking yet?
2028 should be kicking off.
2024, 4 years to get the AF, a brand new team from scratch up.
Five, six, seven, eight. So they've got 4, 5, 6, 7. So there's 4 years to get a team up to scratch. They've done a lot of the work behind the scenes already. You'd be thinking Brendan Gale's going to be going down there. Okay. Apparently Tommy Roker's saying that they're going to be playing at both grounds. They will get this new ground, the 25,000 seater with the roof. It's going to work. That won't be ready by 2028. They reckon that'll be 2029.
Oh, okay. All right.
I like it. The other part, though, is what's going to happen to North Melbourne and Hawthorn, who've made it their area for so long. This, you know, Tasmania has sponsored the Hawks for so long as well, too. Spirit of Tasmania has sponsored the North Melbourne Football Club for many, many years as well. How's that going?
This is a great question because that was my next question. Hawthorn have invested quite a lot of money down there.
Yep, and so have North Melbourne.
But I'd say that Hawks are still your primary club.
I think they'll pretty much, you're pretty much right with that.
What happens with this? Are we going to have a state divided? Or do they all jump? What happens to all the...
What you're going to happen is you're going to have people who are diehards, they'll barrack for them. People who are, I don't know who to go for, will probably go for their home team. But anybody who's Hawthorn and anybody who is North Melbourne will virtually stay the same.
Okay.
That's the way that I look at it.
A three-club town in a 20,000 town, 20,000 people town. Okay. I've got no issue with it. It was just a question that I wanted to know.
Here's it makes me laugh. Tommy Roker's given me the old, nobody there to barrack. Tom, I don't know if you've been looking at the Gold Coast attendances over the last X amount of years. There's nobody to barrack there either. All right. Because they all go to bed before 5 o'clock.
You need to put like 2 minutes aside in our run sheet just to have a crack at Tom. This is like...
But you know what? That's what we do every single week, and that's why people come to us. Like, subscribe, and ring the bell. Another one that's come up. Boys, your predictions for the final eight so far. How's it looking?
Mine's all right. David
could be banned.
Mine's all right. I think I'm struggling with the first two.
The first two. Yeah, just a did I put bit. You in the eight?
No, you didn't. You left us out.
You in the eight? Just.
We're in the eight. Yeah, well, we can't because it's stupid. We're
in the eight. So yeah, it's going all right except for Collingwood and Brisbane. Everything else is coming up roses.
Yeah,
coming up roses.
Yeah, I had like it. Collingwood, Lions, Carlton, Geelong, Sydney, Giants, Crows and Port. I'm going all right.
Yep. I looked at mine and it's okay as well. Just don't ask me to recite it. 22,000 last week. It was sold out. Yep. How many this week? $5 and a sun hat and a packet of chips. And where were the D's plans? Well, if you turned up on time, I've already discussed that. All right.
All right. Another thing, Peps.
Yes.
Stadium related. We're talking footy.
Yeah, we are talking footy. I love it.
Are you upset at the price jumps of food at the MCG this year? Food and beverage. It's gone up averagely by about a lot of 20.
Okay, so I try not to drink at the footy because that's where it kills you. It's like what, $11 for a
11 for a midi.
$5.50. Yeah. That's a joke. Bourbons are just as bad. We went to the footy yesterday. My daughter came back with 2 Milo ice creams and 3 pies, and that cost me $30.
Uh-huh. So pies are now like $6.50, $6.70, $6.80, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Just take your own food, take your own drink. You don't have an issue with it. And smuggle your own spirits in. Like what more? Like there is no
win here, I think, because I feel that the cost of the food at the AFL is sort of like complaining the cost of a Ferrari. You kind of know what you're getting yourself in for.
I agree. What did sort of blow me away was I was going to sit at the MCC because I'm an MCC member. I can just walk in. I pay my membership every year. Normally I pay for my daughter. My daughter and her boyfriend were going. I walked up to the gate and normally it's $10 to get them in. Visitor's pass.
Is it? Okay.
$10. How good's that? So I said, 2 kids and an adult. And they go, how old are the kids? I said, 15. They go, no, that's an adult. Ooh. Oh, okay. How much is that then? $45 each.
You charged me $70 that time you took me.
Yep. Anyway.
The cream on top for you.
Yeah, of course. Hey, what do you think? That cost me to pay for the pies and the chips and the shout that I made you. Anyway, but it's a joke. That's a dead set joke. So then I just got a general admission ticket. And it was 30. So it's $30 to go to a footy game. That is nothing, really, for what you get. Nothing.
Oh, for that game, probably over. No,
you played. Anyway. But yes, I do agree. The price of food and If you're going with a couple of people, it's okay. But if you've got a few kids who want a pie, a chip, a drink, I can see that really pushing it. I'd love to hear from the listeners. I'd love to hear from the viewers who struggles to pay for it. Because if you think about it, if you're not a member and you got a family, you're probably going to be paying 2 adults is $60. Kids under a certain age are free, so you probably got a concession thrown in there as well. You're up for $100 minimum to take a family out, which still is quite cheap cheaper than a lot of other things. You try taking the kids to the movies. Done that recently?
That's
all right. You try taking them to the Melbourne show. You're up for $700 before you even walk in the door. Like it is, and you know, Mossy makes a great point here. Food is expensive everywhere. It is, and I think the cost of living is expensive everywhere. I do like the AFL have tried to minimise it as much as possible, but the alcohol increases, that has to do a lot to do with the tax that the government are attributing to that. Yep. So they have to raise their prices because they're getting charged it. So that it's the old flow-on effect. The other thing also is that there's no cash here, no cash at the MCG anymore. You've got to pay by card. What does every card have? A fee. They're just pushing that onto the people as well too. So it's, It is not easy. It's a conversation
every year that comes up. And I'm just, as you become, you know, when you're single or no kids or whatever, like $5, $6, $8 for a pie or a shitty steak sandwich down, whatever. But like, if you've got a family, think back to what you did when your parents took you to the football. It's sandwiches, chips, slices, biscuits. It's the things you just pack in.
Yep.
And you can still do that. The AFL is not stopping you from doing that. So unfortunately, either roll out the cash or just do what your parents did when they took you to AFL games.
How funny is it? The older you get, like I'm 48. You're
almost 40 this year. 40 this year.
Yeah, you got the hairline of a 58-year-old. Jaden Stephenson, your son's got a better hairdo than you. But the older you get, the more tight assy you get. And I brought the shapes in, I brought the waters in, try not to spend as much. I said, may I go get yourself something to eat? And she came back with, you know, 3 pies and 2 ice creams. All right. So just invest a little bit of time and you'll spend half as much and you'll get probably something a lot better than going. Maybe get your chips, maybe get a pie, but outside of that, don't. With your beverages, that's where it kills you. And I'm like, it was hot yesterday. But the good thing at the G is, and probably a lot of the stadiums, they've got the water refill areas as well too. So you can go and refill up your water, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Now listen to this though. On the flip side, Marvel, where everybody hates going, the magnificent Rambo Kafari, my under-18s coach, he benched me for a half. I came out kick 5. He bought food outside Marvel and was not allowed entry until he disposed of it or he ate it.
That's crap. That is wild, Rick.
That is
crazy. I've never heard of that. That's beyond poor.
That does not surprise me at that stadium.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, but he's also an Eston supporter, so maybe they just didn't like him.
I've never heard of a ground ever doing that other than – no, never. I've never heard of
it. He had cutlery and silverware and he was going in that way.
Rick, that sucks. That's just downright sucks.
It was sushi. Maybe you were too much of a fine diner. You had a palate that was too exquisite for the rest of the crowd.
That's rubbish.
That's crap. I tell you what, though, he could play football, Rambo. He's tough as nails. One of EK's finest.
What else do you want to talk about tonight, Peps?
Anything that's grabbed you? One thing that has grabbed me, though, and it's really difficult to sort of show this because it doesn't make any sense, is the ladder. If you have a look at the ladder, because I've got to do it every single week as we normally do, but GWS on top, Sydney Swans on top, Gold Coast on top, Carlton on top. All right? Port, Fremantle, Essendon, Melbourne, Geelong are outside. Everybody else is on 0. Yeah, you've got some teams that have played 2 games, some teams have played 1. I should put an asterisk or something identifying who's played 2 and who's played 1.
Don't need to.
Because the teams that are on 8 have played 2. But teams like Melbourne,
Collingwood.
Yeah, Collingwood, Brisbane. Don't need to have something next to them to see that they've played 2 games. Yeah, that makes a bit more sense. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I just talk about one thing that sort of got me a little bit excited? Mm-hmm. Forwards seem to be kicking bunches of goals.
Oh, you reckon forwards have got better this season?
I think forwards, I still think goal kicking is a disgrace. Set shot kicking is a disgrace. I had a conversation when I was camping on the weekend with the boys, and I said it comes down. I honestly think it comes down to two things: momentum through the ball. So you need to have forward momentum and momentum after you kick it as well.
Always.
Yep. But the second thing is the new ball. You know, new balls, harder to kick, and they hold their shape. So they need to be kicked in. We spoke about this last week. They need to be
kicked in. I said this 3 weeks ago to you, and you poo-pooed me.
No. I poo-pooed you because the balls need to be kicked in. I don't think they need to have rubber grip or anything on them.
I was talking have something change.
No, the balls don't need to change. They just need to be kicked in. That's why. That's my humble opinion.
Right. Just mallet on the end and just bash the ends?
Just mallet them in like you do with a cricket bat. Knock it in. But I think they need to be kicked in. That's why you play, you know, everybody who's played footy knows you get the new ball at the start of a game, it hurts your foot, it's shocking, et cetera. But you get the ball that's been kicked in, a little bit more warlog, a little bit of heaviness to it, it's going to hold its line a lot more. But I just like what forwards have been doing so far. I've spoken about Jesse Hogan, I spoke about Callum Brown as well too. Larky was going all right. Stringer had four, I think, on the weekend.
Dixon kicked a couple?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we're not just seeing twos and threes. We're seeing fours and fives. We're seeing sixes as well too. I want to see
Jamari Hagen.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
And it is a Melbourne element to it. No. But it's a double-ended. Who would you take? Jacob Van Rooyen? Or Jamara Ugelhagen? And I'm throwing that one out to the listeners as well and the viewers as well. Who would you take, Jamara or JVR?
I have my thoughts on this.
Yep, go for it. I want to hear it. And I want to know why.
I will take Van Rooyen. Because I appreciate traditional forwards who run the ball straight,
okay,
and lead like that.
Yep.
It's the same as Brody Mychek. I think underrated for so many years when he just did a bang up job of just leading to the ball carrier.
Okay, because it sort of caught my eye, and it came up in a conversation with the people that I was sitting with, at the same age. And I just wanted to have a look at them, like, what are they at the same age? And literally at the same age, 22. Yeah, it's interesting. So from a disposals perspective, Jamara won out on the disposals perspective. But when it came to marks, he won out on that as well too. But from a goals perspective, JVR's got him. He's on more on tackles, more on the hitouts. Disposal efficiency is a lot better. Disposal efficiency is 93% compared to 55. Jamara makes more tangers, more clangers, contested marks. Mm-mm-mm. So it seems to be JVR moves up the ground a bit as well too. Jamara's usually within that 50. But from a goal-kicking percentage, JVR's got him at the moment. So it's kind of interesting because a lot of people are saying Melbourne need to go out and find a key forward, and a few other clubs, Hawthorn are the same. They want to go out and target someone. Maybe there is somebody that is there that you can actually utilize. And yep, I know it's only a tiny sample size, but you've got to go with what, you know, a guy who's only been around for 4 years with a guy who's been around for two. But it was just interesting to sort of see when you compare the pair. You can even throw someone like a Nick Larky in there as well too. He's a machine. Ben Gordon, okay. Machine. Logan McDonald, how good was he on the weekend? I was talking about players getting the ball and he slotted four on the weekend. Like, there's this new generation of forward coming through and it's really exciting to see. I think it's going to be an exciting time, especially if we get a lot more of this faster ball movement. Oh, it's going to be exciting. A lot more ball going down to the forwards. Benny Brown kicked three. You know, it's an exciting time. Dixon had three. Harry Mackay kicked straight. Love it. Love footy.
Well, on the forwards and on your linking all this in.
Yep. Mitch Lewis. Forgot about Mitch Lewis.
Yeah, Mitch Lewis. Do you think that they need to, at the moment,
yep,
the standard PSI they put into an AFL football is about 9 to 11 PSI, around that mark, right? 69 kilopascals.
More than that. It's more than that.
It's not. Look on your valve.
I have got one right here.
What's that at the top?
69.
KPI. KPA, yeah, sorry. Yep. So that's about between 9 and 11.
Okay, sorry. I only know football stuff.
Well, I'm talking about technical football. Anyway, did you prefer a hard ball or a soft ball? Like, did you like to kick a brand new sheriff?
Yeah.
On a softer side to give you more bounce off the boot? Or did you like it to be rock hard when it hit your foot? What did you like?
No, I had to have a bit of give.
Yeah. So you would prefer to have it somewhere probably closer to the 64 KPA or the 8.5?
I just liked it softer off the boot, but it was also, you know, the bounce on the ground, so it wouldn't be just all over the joint. If people are laying bullets out to you, I don't know if you've tried to catch a rock hard football in your hands or on your chest, the rib breaker, finger breaker, if you're not too crash hot. And if you've ever been like tried to smother a brand new Sheridan, it's not pretty if you get it at the end of the fingers. So I liked. Funny enough, when I play reserves footy, I actually enjoyed reserves footy somewhat more than senior footy because they didn't use a new ball all the time.
Yeah,
and so the ball had some wear and tear to it. It's a lot easier to grip. It's a lot easier to bounce.
Well, you chuck the game day footy in with a Thursday night kick around just to sort of soften it up a bit.
You could, you should. You should be able to. But the home team normally supplies a brand newie and a ball that's been kicked in.
Yeah,
how it normally works.
I just think that I'm with you on a brand new Sheridan unkicked in, pumped up to a full 69 KPA. The point literally feels like you're kicking wood.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Liz Frank nightmare. That does not take much. Oh, and by the way, a couple of comments coming in off the chat. I apologize. We mark, not catch. So I'm sorry, Mr. Salt. And also, do I want my boots pre-warmed also? No, smart Alec. I like to wear my boots.
You do want them a little bit. If you're wearing leather boots, you want them just someone to do a couple of Ks in them for you.
You've got to, yeah. You need to wear them in. Otherwise, it's blister city, baby. It's blister city. Don't do it. But no, I do like it kicked in a little bit, even like kick to kick. It's great to get the new footy because it spins nicely, but you just like to have a bit of grippo on it as well. I like a bit of grippo on the ball, a bit of sticky, a bit of tacky.
Well, I noticed that who was on the weekend I saw walking off the ground with a bit of grippo on the old chest there.
Yep, always. On the Pomeroy Panels logo, that's where I used to stick it.
Mm-hmm.
Vice-like.
Anyway, all right. Well, that was just – I just wanted to know if you prefer to kick a slightly softer ball because the AFL has stipulated at 69 KPA or about 10.5 PSI.
Yeah. Can I give a couple of shout-outs just on the weekend as well too?
Sure, you can.
All right. I want to give a couple of shout-outs to Caleb Sarong. God, he was good against Brisbane on the weekend. If you get a chance to just watch the highlights. Like, if there's going to be a smoke – if Brisbane do that every single week, which I don't think that they will, but if they do, get your money on Sarong for the Brownlow because he is a poll getter. He would have racked up three yesterday. He is a massive chance. So just a shout out to him. Sam Flanders, he had a casual 35 with Noah Anderson on the weekend as well too. So they just racked them up. My boy, Clary Oliver, just had the preseason from hell and has just come back. Absolutely. Cracker Jack. So it was good to see.
Sheepdog.
Yep. Oh, classy. I will also say, is Sam Taylor just the best backman in the league?
Second.
Behind who?
Behind Zerk Thatcher. What about two times? Yeah, two times good.
Two times goes all right. Paddy Dangerfield's goal. From Fiddy 2?
Clutch.
It's a clutch.
It actually looked like it was knocking it through.
Hooked it and it just came back nicely. Absolutely sensational. Loved it. Hayden Young, 11 clangers on the weekend. Well done. You know, for every good story, there has to be a bad one. And Charlie Ballard down back had 11 intercepts as well too. So from like even like Luke Ryan from Fremantle, 817 metres gained. That is just awesome. Just now, these are the stats that just make you sit back and go, the footy's in good shape. I think from a playing perspective, footy's in a really good shape. The rule makers, you just need to – oh, I have something for you. Have you noticed this, J-Dog? Two things. When the ball goes out of bounds, the amount of time that the boundary umpire is waiting, like turning around and waiting for the people to get there. And if you notice that the way that they're throwing the ball in, it used to be where it is virtually straight back. Now they're aiming towards the center of the ground, which is usually the original way it used to be, but it's a lot more profound now that they're aiming towards the middle of the ground for when they're throwing it in. It looks absolutely weird.
Yeah, a couple of things on that one. So I think they wait so they can get the ruckman there or nominate. So just
but why shouldn't they talk about making the game faster, but they slow it down by doing this thing?
I know, but they want to make sure that it's not just like bloody, I don't know, Cozzy Pickett and someone else going up for the ruck.
Too bad.
They want the ruckman there.
It's too bad. I'd love to hear what the listeners and the viewers think. Is it too bad, like subscribe and ring the bell, when these sort of things happen, like wait, like you want to fasten the game, but they wait. Same when there's a tackle, same when there's a ball up, they just wait. They don't blow the whistle fast enough.
I do agree. They've changed the rules with the flag waving. After a point has been kicked. Same thing. I think just get moving on. The other one, going back in towards the center of the ground, yeah, I saw a few incidences over the weekend.
Even the technique's different too. Like now it used to be just like straight over. Now it's this big.
Yeah, it's a big hoof now.
But I'm noticing how many are falling short as well. Like they're going really high but falling short.
The ruckman will adjust.
Or plenty of length. Plenty of length, not much girth.
Yeah. I think it's probably to do with, no, I don't know, maybe it's easier on the back. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like some reasons as to why.
I just think it's just they've just changed technique and I don't get it.
Fair enough. If that's the worst thing out of this week's football that we've come up with a couple of umpire shockers and some throwing in techniques, but overall the football could be back. It's 26 weeks to go.
Now, the last thing I have to ask you about, J-Dog, is one week at a time, games that you're looking forward to for this week in the AFL. What's capturing your attention this week?
I'm always a sucker for a Saturday game. So what's on a Saturday night, mate?
Can I just say, we're around two, aren't we?
Yeah. Right.
So can I – let me just go through these games and tell me if there's like a factor about them. All right. First game on the weekend, this Thursday, St Kilda Collingwood at the MCG. Imagine if Collingwood go 0-3.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Adelaide Geelong, Friday night. That'd be all right.
Be a good game.
Going to be a good game. North and Fremantle at Marvel. North, I reckon we can win that.
Very winnable.
Very winnable. Hawks and Melbourne, don't worry about that. Sydney versus Essendon at the SCG.
You going that game? 4:35?
I've got a 50th. I'm up to 50th now, Jamie. 50th. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, horse. Sydney, Essendon.
Not bad. Not
bad. If Essendon do what they did on the weekend with their midfield run, could get exciting. That's the Saturday night game. Sunday, though, Doggies versus Suns at Mars Stadium. Doggies could go 0-3. I reckon the Suns are a massive chance to take that one out.
Yeah.
Richmond Port. Could imagine if you lose to the Tigers at the G. They were pretty good last week.
I might even see if I can get to that game.
And last but not least is West Coast versus GWS, because we've got two teams with a bye after 2 weeks of football. Stupid.
Well, I want to see Carlton play and I want to see Brisbane play, especially coming up after what Brisbane have served up for the last 2 weeks, which has been basically one quarter of football each, and that's it.
All right. Can I top it?
Yeah.
Just before we wrap this big boy up, because it's been a cracking episode.
What do you want to see, Peps?
from that round of footy. I'm funny enough, I'm going a bit of Drive to Survive. I'm fascinated by Friday night. I mean, Thursday night. Imagine if St Kilda knock off Collingwood.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why.
Yeah.
I'd love to see what Adelaide can do against the Cats, because the Adelaide will be pretty disappointed the way they finished that game off against Gold Coast last week. Sorry, they kicked the last six, but what they did in the first 3 3/4 was nothing. Yep. North versus Fremantle has got me a little bit, what's going to happen there? Fremantle the real deal? North Melbourne, can they do something that no one's expecting? Sydney versus Essendon, not too worried. Hawthorn, Melbourne, Sicily's out, so I don't see how Hawthorn win without Sicily. I just don't. But the Western Bulldogs Suns game is a fascinating one. That is a game that Gold Coast should win with the talent they've got on the park, and the Western Bulldogs can't afford to lose.
Down at Mars?
Down at Mars. So that, I reckon, that there is the tantalizer, because that could be an absolute ship steadier, or the jungle drums will be going, hold on, we changed everything in the off-field for you doggies and you still can't get it right.
Tom, if you're going to that game, let me know. I might come down to Ballarat and say hello.
It's on Sunday, by the way.
That's what I mean. That's fine, though. I'll go to Ballarat and watch. I'll go to Ballarat and meet Tom.
I'd go down there. I'd probably go down there too if I'm not hungover. Yeah. So I think, but the reason why I'm excited that is this. If Collingwood lose, guess what the game is on the Thursday night the week after?
Oh, you're doing your parlay, are you?
No.
Parlay from this into this.
Thursday night, 28th of March, the Brisbane Lions versus Collingwood.
Yes.
Could you imagine Collingwood is 0-3, going in against the Brisbane Lions, who are 0-2. Imagine Collingwood, Brisbane is 0-3 to start the year, Collingwood 0-4 to start the year. Oh. Mind blown. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
One
week ahead.
I am. I just like the way things are. And then, funny enough, that weekend, Saturday night, your boys versus my boys.
I know. Over there, though.
Oh, no, too bad. We would just get on it if it was over here. All right. Hey, thank you for everybody who's been joining us online. Our numbers are going up through the roof. Please like, subscribe. If you love the content that we're doing, please just subscribe, because the more people that know about us, the more we love doing what we do every single week. Also, if you have a bit of difficulty finding us on your podcast host, we did a bit of a change last week, so just jump onto our Spotify, Apple Podcasts. They're the two main that you'll definitely be able to find us, but just look for Lace Out AFL Podcast. But besides that, just keep giving us our feedback. We've also got something interesting as well too. And I don't know, you're going to talk about this part?
No, next week.
You'll do it next week? All right, we'll do it next week. Really good announcement that you can actually literally be part of the show too. So J-Dog, absolutely sensational to join with you again. I'm Peps. He's J-Dog. It's Lace Out. And J-Dog, what do you talk about your footy?
Lace Out.
Oh, he's a superstar. Have a great week, viewers. I'll see you next time.